with the next episode, everyone. We're so excited to be back once again.
Yeah, season two is fun.
What are we talking about today?
This was a trend last year. We know about it. It's been happening for years, but all of a sudden, it's like everybody woke up to this specific thing, jaw wiring. I'm sure you've seen it where people just shut their jaws tight.
Yeah, I've seen it myself. I think I've seen it quite a bit. And it's one of those trends that I really feel very passionate about educating people about.
Yeah.
And I want you all to know that as health professionals, we are both dietitians, for anyone who doesn't know.
Mm.
That's why we're called the dietitian frequency, of course.
Yeah.
But
newsflash.
Newsflash for anyone who didn't realize.
If you've missed that.
If you don't know, now you know. But essentially, any information that we speak about, this is not our opinion. We are giving you the science. We will give you the pros. We will give you the cons. We will let you make an informed decision. But we will also not fool you, and we will not beat around the bush if something is not healthy. If something is not healthy, if something has a lot of negative side effects, we will educate you on those, because that is not the level of education most people get about their health in general. If you think about it, think about when you get a diagnosis, if your family member's gotten a diagnosis for a certain condition, things aren't explained to you. When you are told about something, when you want to do something, you don't get the list of the side effects. When you get medication, there's a whole long list of side effects that no one walks you through. You have to try and find that information yourself. So if you are wondering whether you should do jaw wiring and are seeking out more information about it, you've come to the right place.
Yep.
Because we will give you all the ins and outs. The lowdown on it. So I feel like let's just jump right into it.
Why is everyone just, you know, keeping their mouths shut?
That's literally, I need to give you guys the tagline for this. Jaw wiring. What's the secret that keeps everybody's mouth shut?
I love that. When I saw that, I was like, this is legit clever. It's smart. So I think, let's start there. I think, why are people doing jaw wiring? Are there any benefits, if anything, Azzy, on this?
So jaw wiring is essentially a procedure that you'll go and get where you get a part of your jaw wired shut. The aim of it is essentially weight loss. So essentially, anyone who goes in for jaw wiring, it's either for weight loss, or if you've actually had a medical procedure where, for instance, if you've had an injury to your jaw or your mandible, you will actually have your jaw wired shut so that it can facilitate in the healing process. Any health professional, specifically surgeons and doctors, will know exactly what that procedure is like. But from a dietitian perspective, when you do jaw wiring, essentially from that perspective, a health perspective, you are actually doing it so that you can fix and heal the injury to the jaw. And because your jaw is wired shut, you actually have to change the consistency of the food that you're eating. So that's where we can go into a little bit more.
Yeah, because I mean, that sounds like something. Yeah, you will tell us how do they navigate that? Because I always think, I love food. I like biting, chewing. And there was a time where I had my wisdom tooth removed, and that was hard because the consistency of the food I ate had to change. So you will tell us about that. Yeah. I am also interested in dangers. What are, if any, I will assume there are dangers into this jaw wiring business. What are those that you can, you know, highlight for our listeners?
So I think one of those dangers is actually, first of all, the vitamin and mineral deficiencies that can happen.
Yeah.
Because when you are changing your diet so significantly, it means that there are things that are going to need to be cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're changing the consistency of it and it's not under the guise of health professionals, you are going to be missing out on certain nutrients.
Mm.
So because of that, you can expect that you may have some long-term deficiencies. And another thing is, when you are changing the consistency of your food, you're also, obviously, if you're going for more soft food, you're also removing the fiber from your diet.
Yep.
And fiber is one of those nutrients that's so important. I can't stress it enough. Whether or not you have gut health issues, fiber is one of those things that's so important. It is a prebiotic. It actually ferments in the gut, and it actually helps you know, to feed the good bacteria in your gut. So there's so many health benefits of fiber. It also makes you feel full for longer. So you might find that when you go on a jaw-wiring type of diet, that you're feeling more hungry, and you will also likely suffer from constipation.
Mm.
Now, a lot of people actually suffer from constipation. It's a very common issue that most anyway, people have.
Even if they're already, not doing
without the jaw wiring, it's already a struggle. Now,
constipation and bloating is the thing.
Bloating, yeah. Exactly. So now you're adding in the jaw wiring, and it's going to actually make it significantly worse.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things that I say you really, really need to kind of question whether you want to do the jaw wiring.
Yeah.
And you know, especially like I said, because you are changing the consistency, and most people aren't educated on, you know, how to enrich their diet, especially when you're changing consistency, you might actually be cutting out a food group like your healthy fats, for instance. And that might mean that, like I said, you won't be feeling full, but you also might not have as good energy levels, because when you have less fiber, you're having foods that are a lot more, you know, your refined starches, or you're having foods that are just generally lower in fiber, you're going to have moments in the day where your energy levels are going to spike up, and they're going to come crashing all the way down.
Mm.
So that's really one of those things that you can expect. And another thing, like I said, not only are you going to be reducing the fats, but some people don't know how to add more protein in their diet when they do this. So they might think, oh, wow, I've lost so much weight when they step on the scale. But like, if you've listened to any of the other episodes, you will know that Mbali mentioned the composition, that you are losing the scale weight, but you're actually not, you actually don't know. It could be muscle that you're mainly losing as well.
And we know that muscle has a sort of a function. You know, you want to preserve muscle mass as much as you are losing weight. You want to make sure that you're not losing muscle mass. You can lose body fat, but not muscle mass. Exactly. And when this happens, even their energy levels are constantly fatigued, because you are thinking you are on this consistency, liquidy, whatever diet that you are drinking. You are losing weight, but you're actually now also losing muscle mass. You're tired. You're feeling tired.
It's just a really tough thing to back. Yeah. I'll be honest. It's a really tough diet to back. Because, you know, a lot of the time, people lose so much weight on these kinds of diets so quickly. But a lot of it, not only is muscle, but also water weight. So, you know, when you're losing a lot of that water weight, you think that, oh, okay, I've lost a lot of weight on the scale, but most of it is the water. It's not actually fat mass that you've lost.
Yeah.
So be mindful that that might be one of those things. And think about, you know, if you're not so clued up on how to puree all the food, because this is a liquid diet that you need to be on, especially when you are doing jaw wiring. You might actually come across certain foods that you can't actually put through a blender and have it be completely smooth. The consistency won't be smooth because it's got a lot of what we call our soluble fiber, which is the fiber that is the harder kind of type of fiber. Actually, insoluble fiber. Sorry about that. So insoluble fiber is the type of fiber that's that hard fiber that, you know, if you were to blend it, you might still have pieces that come through. And that could actually be a choking hazard.
Yeah.
And that's actually a danger that a lot of people forget about. You know, when you have your jaw wired shut, that you could actually choke, and that could actually bring about other complications that you might not be aware of.
Yep.
So be aware of that, I think. I think one of those things, though, that people, you know, don't think about is your relationship with food. I know it's one of those topics about anyone who's suffered from any eating disorders or disordered eating will know that this is one of those things that's so important. But it really does significantly have an impact on your relationship with food.
Yeah.
Because from this changing of textures to actually going through a procedure that just shows you the lengths that you're willing to go through to lose weight, and at any cost. And, you know, it is one of those things that's very frustrating, you know, when you've been trying everything and nothing has been working. There's some people who've even gone and seen health professionals and feel like they haven't been able to make any progress in the way that they would like, because they want quick kind of results and a quick fix. And, you know, this is a quick fix.
It is a quick fix. How you view food now is, even if now you've had this jaw wires, the wires removed, every time you think of food, you'll think of it as means to lose or gain weight only. And you will remember that when you had your jaw shut, because it was sort of restricting you from eating these foods that you enjoy chewing and you know, eating, then you always, you know, think about it and be like, oh, the reason why I'm gaining weight is because of food or X, Y, and Z, certain foods.
Yeah.
That's a problem because your relationship with food is going to be affected significantly.
Exactly. And that's, I think, is such an important thing to kind of delve into with a lot of diets, that you are restricting food significantly and that affects how you view food. And, you know, it makes you to completely remove the enjoyment out of actually just eating, because eating isn't just for nourishment. It isn't just for weight loss. It's also part of life. It's part of how we socialize. It's part of how we come together. And if you're one of those people who feel like you cannot go to social events or anything like that because you're worried about the food that's going to be there, if you're on a weight loss journey, then I strongly recommend that you go and see a dietitian who has a special interest specifically in kind of disordered eating, because it is so easy to let these labels rule your life. Because another thing, the things that people will remember about you won't be physical things, it'll be the kind of person you are. So as much as someone who is losing weight will say, well, I will do anything to lose weight, there's so much more to life. There's so many happy moments that you can miss out on. There's so many moments that you miss out on capturing because of how you feel. And I think it's so important to get to a point where you start working on that, because I'm telling you now, if actually once you've lost the weight, that feeling does not go away. You will still feel like you could do more, or you could lose more weight, or you could, you know, you're still not where you want to be. You've achieved this short-term goal, but it's not enough, and it will always, it's essentially will never be enough.
Yeah.
So it's important to work on how you kind of view yourself internally.
Yeah.
Your relationship with food.
That's
your relationship
true.
With yourself, because those kinds of things are just as important, especially when you're kind of trying to go on a health journey.
Yeah, because I'm worried what happens when those wires are removed. If you haven't learned how to navigate social events, for example, then it means now you've lost weight, because obviously your jaws were what do you say?
Wired shut. I don't know.
Your mouth was shut.
Yeah.
Now you the wires are removed, and you find yourself at birthday parties, at celebrations. You are now at your goal weight, but you can't navigate food still. So
yeah,
that is very important. That's why we keep on saying a dietitian, especially if you, I think this is also important as to mention, because I've had people who say they've been to a dietitian in the past and their relationship with food got affected even more.
Yeah.
After they had been with a dietitian, whoever, you know, the journey that they embarked on with a dietitian.
Yeah.
So it's important that if you've got that sort of negative thinking about dietitians, to always remember you need to click with the dietitian that you are, you know, working with for weight loss.
Yeah.
You need to click. But also what you mentioned, Azzy, finding a dietitian that specializes in that area where, like if it's eating disordered or disordered eating, helps in that way. They understand how to navigate weight loss. Don't just sussing out a dietitian and connecting with them. Nowadays you can do that through social media before making that appointment is important. Also demographically, South Africa here, you sometimes have to look into that and say, are they going to understand where I come from, whether you black, white, Indian, colored, are they going to understand my background? Are they going to understand, you know, the sort of environment where I come from? And then from there, you're able to make a decision that, okay, this is a best fit for me. And that's a fact. It doesn't mean that just because a dietitian is a dietitian, it means that dietitian is for everyone. As much as just because a client is looking for a dietitian doesn't mean all clients are our clients. You know, I've learned that the hard way, that there are certain clients that I just don't connect with. They don't connect with me. I don't connect with them. Whether it's demographic factors that are blocking us or socioeconomic status. Nowadays, I am able to say, I won't be the best fit for you. And then, you know, recommend a dietitian like Azzy. I always say, try Azzy. Maybe you will connect with them, because I don't want to feel frustrated as a dietitian myself that I wasn't able to help a person reach their goals the way that they want to reach their, you know, weight loss goals.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that because part of why jaw wiring, as you were mentioning, is not ideal, is that it affects your relationship with food.
Definitely.
But at the same time, part of why people then have a block towards seeing dietitians is because of their previous experiences. So you need to suss a dietitian out. They can choose not to see you because you are not matching up with the type of people they see, but also you have a choice. And yeah. even if you are with a dietitian and you feel like, you know what, she's not doing it for me, or they are not doing it for me, or he's not doing it for me, then you can choose to be referred to another dietitian at any time.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's your health, mm-hmm. it's your life, it's up to you. You can decide what you want to do. So I think at the end of the day, especially with any of these diets, it's a short-term solution. Draw wiring, it's a short-term solution. It's difficult to keep the weight off. Mm-hmm. Most of the science says that if you are going to try and embark on a diet, that 95% of diets don't work.
Mm.
95% of diets don't work. And on top of that, people gain all of the weight back times two.
Mm.
I've seen it in practice, and it is actually a reality. So it's so important to make it more sustainable and try and just make it something that's a bit more enjoyable, and understand, you know, that there are going to be times where things will be more difficult, and that's where support is important. So if that means having a community of people that you join, if that means instead of going to a gym membership where you walk in by yourself, if it's a CrossFit where there's a bunch of people who can hold you accountable, or if you've, you know, anything that's going to help you to be able to sustain it in the long term, I feel is the most important thing, because you don't ever want it to be a short term thing.
Yeah.
You want it to be a part of your lifestyle.
Mm.
And yeah, whatever helps, if you're a super organized person, if it means that you diarize it, if you're a person who enjoys social, make it a social thing. If you enjoy having time to yourself, do it on your own. Whatever it is, if you know that you love music and there's always music and albums that you enjoy that come out, make sure that you only listen to new music while you're exercising, so that it motivates you to go and exercise. Yeah. Anything, you know, that's what I do.
That's a good idea.
I only listen to podcasts, and I only listen to certain albums when I'm exercising, because I know that it's going to get me there. So whatever that looks like for you, do that. Same thing with food. If you know you're not a veg girl, you're not a veg person, you don't like certain food, there's foods you enjoy, there's foods you don't enjoy, try and sneak things in. Make your veggies a sauce.
Mm.
You know, try and add more, you know, fruits if you enjoy more fruits in your diet. Try and enjoy some plant-based protein, if it even means that you make that your starch for a salad, if you're trying to get into the whole salad thing. But to do something that's a procedure, I think is going to be something that will have long-term damage. And, you know, a lot of people don't know how to gradually get back out of, you know, once the jaw wiring is removed and getting back into eating normally, because that's another aspect that we actually should discuss.
Because
there's a certain way that you need to move back into your full kind of normal diet. And some people move too quickly, and it might cause them to have severe constipation now, because they've gone from having next to no fiber to having a lot of fiber, and then they struggle. So, you know, there's a lot of different side effects and things to take into consideration when you're trying to make something, you know, make such a drastic change into your diet.
We've spoken about consistency quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I know that when it comes to jaw wiring, there are two types of people whereby they can just live on ice cream and custards, and it ends and starts and ends there. Or the group that will blend, you know, smoothies and blend different things. What is the best way? Now I've decided, well, I don't care. I've heard Azzy and Bali dietitians talking at jaw wiring, this and that, but I still want to do it. So that they still get enough protein and still get enough somewhat fiber. What's the best way to liquidize or blend food?
I think I would definitely recommend, you know, trying to make sure that you're getting a good balance of all of your food groups in each mealtime and snack. So a simple way that you can do this is, for instance, breakfast time, you do a breakfast smoothie, you add banana, you add a leafy green so that you're getting some iron in there, and then you add a healthy fat. For instance, you can add in some nut butter.
Mm.
And then for your protein, you can add a milk. If you are plant-based, I suggest you do soya milk, because it has at least 8 grams of protein per serving.
Yeah, we need to compare for our listeners. Maybe have an episode. Maybe have, you know, that milk as a sponsor. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, let's see. Anything
we're putting it on there.
Future. Yeah, yeah. If you know of any companies that do plant-based milks
and they want us to try and nutritionally like compare and review, and actually we can do that.
Yeah.
And then they will sponsor an episode.
Yeah, and then we will be able to actually just share that with you guys, so that you can actually at least have the knowledge and know which kind of brands can offer a good variety of you know, your not only your macronutrients, so your food groups, but also your vitamins your and vitamins, minerals, because yeah. that's just as important with yeah, your milk
calcium,
products.
Vitamin D, which ones are fortified, which ones are not, and is it best to do sweetened or unsweetened? It might sound like a, you know, it's a no-brainer, but, you know, there's a lot that goes into plant-based or milk alternatives these days. So that would be yeah. cool. So if you know of any company, or if you are listening and you work for that company,
give us a shout. But yeah, I think we've spoken about breakfast. And for instance, if you wanted a healthy lunch or dinner, I would take any kind of softened stewed meats.
Yeah.
So cook as if you're making a chicken stew, for instance. You remove any of your bones, you remove any fat or skin on the chicken. You try and add veggies like your carrots. You can add tomato. You can add onion. You can add flavorings. And then you also make sure that you cook it with a vegetable oil of your choice. Specifically your canola or your sunflower or your olive oils or your avocado oils, rather than your coconut oil, because that is a saturated fat. So you want to minimize that in your diet. Okay. So you're going to kind of throw all of that together, blend it, and then that is exactly how you can kind of make a balanced lunch and dinner. So you will choose whichever protein of your choice. Like I said, it doesn't have to only be chicken. You can also use any of your plant-based protein as well. I strongly recommend when you throw this together to add in a starch as well, because it's very easy when you're doing a stew and you're blending these kind of things throughout the day to forget to add in starches. So an easy way you can do that at breakfast is to add oats into that smoothie that I mentioned. Or at lunchtime, you add some sweet potato or some potato into that stew. And just like that, you would have added some extra starch to at least make sure that you're meeting your full all of your food groups, all of your macronutrients. And I would also strongly recommend that you also try and make sure that you add some snacks in there as well. So don't only limit yourself to the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Try and add two snacks in as well. Okay. So during those snacks, again, trying to focus on your fats, on your starches, and also try to add maybe a fruit or a veg that you blend together. Any way that you enjoy. Like I said, it's up to you. But at the end of the day, just trying to make sure you're getting in enough of the nutrients and you're not missing out on anything is ideal if you're going to go onto this jaw wiring and you're just going to have ice cream and custard, then you're not necessarily going to be meeting your goals and you're going to be completely deficient in too many vitamins and minerals and your energy levels will not survive. So that's a little bit about the jaw wiring. I think
I love that. Yeah.
I think just, you know, getting to just, as we conclude, I think it's always so important to just ask yourself why. Don't always see things that people are doing or people that are doing in within your circles and seeing how it works for them and assuming that if you do the same thing, you'll get the same results, because the reality is all of our bodies are different. All of us react to things differently. Some people can do these crash diets and could be the 5% that are able to keep the weight off. But for the majority of people, they can't keep the weight off. It will come back. So just be mindful of that. And yeah, I think that's really it.
I love that takeaway message, you know, because what can work for another person might not work for you.
Yes,
and
so true.
When we see, obviously, jaw wiring, I don't know the actual cost. It's not like, you know, something that is super cheap. So in itself, I think there's that admiration that when people see the other people who've done it, they think, oh, okay, she's got money and what's not. And then, we aspire to do it because we know that it's not cheap. It's not like it's something that...
It becomes a status thing.
You know, it becomes a status thing. Yeah. As well,
because it's not one of those necessary... It's like a cosmetic procedure.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't expect medical aids to necessarily be covering that cost. I think it definitely could be one of those status things, and this is just to say that just because other people are doing it doesn't mean you have to do it, and you don't have to feel pressured to do something just because someone else is doing it. Do more research, speak to health professionals, speak to dietitians, and then make your decision from there. Like we said, we will give you the pros and the cons. If you someone who stands by this, we've given you some tips at least that you can kind of take away from this podcast to know how to do it in a more healthy way.
Yeah.
But I just want you to know that our stance on this is that you make the decision for yourself. We've given you the pros and cons. Now it's up to you.
Well, we won't do it, but yeah, it's up to you.
All right. You won't see me doing it.
Nope.
But
I'm a texture girl. I'm a texture girl. I want to bite. I want to chew. I want to savor the moment. There's no way. Unless, God forbid, there's a procedure that has been done on my teeth and I can't eat, obviously, for that reason. And we did say there is medical procedures that are done.
Where you do need a liquid diet.
Until that time, no.
No.
I'm not doing it voluntarily. Just to go there and say, shut me. I don't know. No. This was very educational. I think I learned a lot myself. I think how you just break it down and the practical tips for those who still want to do it, we still gave them and say, this is breakfast, lunch, and supper, pretty much. Like it's like a day meal plan, if you want to. I think it's time now for the nutrition nugget of the week. I see hot, fresh, and frozen vegetables. That is something that I see. And I want to say, because I'm going to mention a platform, particularly TikTok, we get to be exposed to content from all over the world, right? As South Africans, we get to be exposed to American TikTok, wherever in the world.
Yeah.
And some of the things I've then realized is that, you know, certain things that are okay for us South Africans are not necessarily okay in America.
Yeah.
Fresh produce here in South Africa and frozen produce here in South Africa are nutritionally pretty much the same. We don't...
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know, in America, it seems like it's a different journey altogether, that they go to an extent of buying fresh vegetables and then freeze themselves, because I think the processing is different of their fresh, of their frozen produce.
Yeah, we're not so sure how that works. So
I don't know.
American dietitians, please educate us.
But here in South Africa, we can even confidently say frozen is better nutritionally, depending on how long your fresh has been on the shelf, you know, from harvest to your table and in your fridge, how long has it stayed there. Frozen is literally harvested and fresh frozen on site and then transported to where it needs to be. Then we buy it from there. So pretty much then it means nutrient losses are much lower in our frozen. But I mean, still, we want fresh. We want fresh because it's also good to add it more exciting texture-wise as well.
Definitely.
Some frozen vegetables, I must say, that depending on what has happened, there are some certain times where a cold chain has been broken and a frozen vegetables, the texture at the end of it is mushy.
Yeah.
That's the truth. But nutritionally, in that mushiness,
there's a lot of nutrients.
So you can use your fresh produce then in such a way, your frozen veggies in such a way that you can add them into your stews. So if you are concerned about the mushiness, then just add it into your stew, add it into your soup. When you're doing soups, in that way you don't really have to deal with that texture.
And add it at the end so that it doesn't get even more mushy.
Don't defrost your vegetables before. Frozen vegetables are cooked directly from frozen.
Please don't make that mistake.
What's that English word for defrosting again?
The English word?
Yeah, it starts with a T. T-H.
Thaw.
That's why I'm with the child here who went to a good school.
Wow, I'm so dead.
Well, I went to school. My high school was in Nongo, in a village. So, I mean, really, English is something that I've had to, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, guys.
It's thaw.
And I think... In terms of your veggies, you also must make sure... I feel like she's going for this word now. If you hear Mbali say thaw, just know...
I'm sure it's like I'm saying thaw, the character.
Yeah, I'm also thinking of that.
The Avenger. The strongest Avenger.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm off topic here.
I think if we think of your frozen veg, you know... If you are trying to cook it, maybe you don't want to add it into a stew, do not boil it in water.
Yes.
You put it maximum a tablespoon at the very most, especially if you're cooking a bigger kind of portion than a tablespoon. But if you're cooking a small portion, a teaspoon is fine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of water
and
moisture in there. You don't actually need to add a lot more water. And you'll find that when you do that, and once you've cooked it down and you can add your spices, you can add olive oil at the end. It will be so tasty and you will actually really enjoy it. That was like my go-to meal of kind of vegetables, especially when I know my my fresh veg is coming to an end. Yeah. You add in your frozen veggies. You can cook it in the microwave or you can cook it on the stove pot. It's so quick. It's so easy. It's still nutritious. And that's why it tastes so much sweeter. If you look at those frozen carrots, they're so much sweeter. So, sometimes you'll buy a batch of carrots and you'll be like, are these even carrots?
Yeah, because they're so bland.
They're bland. So yeah, you find that your frozen veg is a lot more, kind of has more depth and flavor.
Yeah, my go-to meal in varsity, obviously, because, I mean, we were not rich in varsity as students, we're just trying to go by, would be frozen stir fry. So I will heat up the sort of a pan, making sure that it's very hot, so that when I put it in with a little bit of oil, it goes very quickly. In that way, it preserves the crunchiness a bit, you know, it doesn't become soggy. And I'll have that and noodles and some frozen chicken something, or a schnitzel, or frozen fish, you know, butter frozen fish. That would be my go-to meal, and it was nutritious, by the way, and affordable.
Nutritious, affordable, delicious. I did the same thing with a tin of tuna.
Oh.
Just because I did not want to be sitting and cooking for long sometimes.
So frozen veg, tuna, whether with noodles or rice, if you've got leftover rice.
I'll cook rice in bulk. We should do that as our next nutritional nuggets.
Yeah.
Some kind of quick, easy meals, especially now with load shedding. I think we're going to need those.
Yeah. I love our creativity. As we... Yeah. we